like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal, come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today will be Glenn Hatchell, returning for the 16th installment of Ask the Trainer. That means that as of this morning, we're approaching 16 instances over the years, weeks shy of the five-year mark, by the way, of inviting listeners to call in with questions for Glenn and their dogs or cats' behavior. Questions about other animals are welcome, too. If you've heard previous editions of Ask the Trainer, which we aim to present every 2 to 3 months, you'll recall that Glenn served as the Behavior Enrichment Manager at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. He's retired from that position. He's also a certified professional dog trainer, a veteran and accomplished dog trainer and behaviorist, as well as a former WMNF programmer. During these Ask the Trainer shows, Glenn fields several calls and emails seeking to answer listener questions about their animal's behavior and or provide guidance on training or how to otherwise address that particular issue. So this morning, we again invite listeners to call in 813-239-9663 with questions for Glenn, or the questions can be submitted by email, dj@wmnf.org, or via text, 813-433-0885. Incidentally, we have learned over these years that phone calls tend to be a bit more effective just because they enable Glenn to ask the caller follow-up questions more precisely, assessing the issue and better calibrating his recommended solution. Still, for listeners unable to call or who just prefer to write in, we will also incorporate questions submitted by email. Again, that's dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. So feel free to call or email now while Glenn and I talk for a few moments, and we'll look forward to receiving your calls or your emails. So Glenn, welcome back to Talking Animals and a new edition of Ask the Trainer.
Thank you, Duncan.
Pushing 5 years, which I realized over the weekend.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, that's great.
That really is.
They said it wouldn't last.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do remember you. It was like, let's try this. Let's see what happens. But it really was, I was quite nervous about it doing it the first time. And then I thought that it's not unlike having a teaching a group class with, you know, 8 or 10 people in there and never knowing what question may come next from someone who's in the class.
Sure.
And once I took that mindset about it, and the fact that I got to come back into the radio station on a regular basis, that was just made it so much fun. So I really am happy that it's continuing on. And
people really seem to like and enjoy it. And as I mentioned a few times, or usually when we're gearing up for this, I mentioned it usually in a social media post. But the person asked whatever question they have about their dog or their cat or whatever it might be, of course, is directly served by whatever answer you give. But I think a lot of listening have similar issues with their animals. And so they're well served, I think, indirectly by just listening to the exchange back and forth. So I think we're helping not as many as McDonald's serves, but many, many people.
And that really is what I think my intent, our intent, is that even if it's not exactly what you may be dealing with, you might have something you're dealing with your dog that may give you an idea of something to try. Because often I say we never know until we try it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we don't want to do something that's going to backfire on the dog. So there are obviously limitations with that.
Yeah, certain parameters. But a lot of times, the very nature of the issue sort of almost suggests that it's going to take a little experimentation to arrive at just the right answer.
Exactly. And it's just like dogs are like humans in the way that what they may do this time is different what they do next time. Now, fortunately, we can depend on dogs more than people to be consistent in their behaviors. Right. So,
we love dogs.
Yes, we do love. And it's not, you know, we talk about dogs, but it's not just dogs. I mean, even horses. You know, horses now are being trained with positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
Recall, you know, having the horse come to wherever the person is. So, I mean, well, and of course, clicker training, I think, started with dolphins back in the 50s or maybe even before that. It just, you know,
and
it's just amazing.
Of course, we love cats. We don't want to leave cats
out
of the picture.
That's right.
Cat question comes up usually once per show, but
we've had several over the years.
Yeah,
and we've had some good ones.
I've even asked one at one point.
I was going to say one of the
cat
one,
the bully.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. One of the questions came from you, and is one of our very good cat questions.
Yeah,
because I remember you being a little. I don't know if I can ask this, and it's like this is a great question. But talking about those that have listened and supported over the years, as a listener and a former programmer, congratulations and thanks to all those who financially contributed to a successful fundraising drive.
Yeah, no, it went well. We were so pleased with people really stepping up. And again, with our funding being stripped away by a certain inhabitant of a certain building in Washington, D.C., it's even more crucial that the fund drives do well, because it used to be that 70% or so of our operating budget. Now it's 90%+ because of what we lost. I mean, almost in real time, Bill and St. Pete says, "Why are your shows all about dogs? What about cat lovers? This is cat discrimination, haha." So I think we timed that just about perfect.
That's Bill. Right.
Yeah.
But I will say that I try to, if it's something that I'm talking about that really applies, that it's training in general, that it will apply to a cat just like it will a dog. So often I have tried to point out that you could also do a similar thing with cats, but you are very good. That's a very good point. And we've talked about that a lot, about the fact of we are very dog-centric.
Well, it's also kind of driven by the questions that come in. So right. A lot of questions seem to be dog-oriented, but we always make a point of saying, as we have today again, that we're welcome to open to cat questions. Another animal question, once in a blue moon, forget there has been a few other animals over the years. I mean, not dog and not cat I'm trying to think of one right now. But meanwhile, speaking of all this, and of course speaking of dogs, I understand there's a new dog in the household.
Yes, there is a new dog in the household.
And how's that going?
A new dog. It's going quite well.
Okay.
So over the last more than 15 years, every time we brought a dog into the house, I was very focused on that dog because that's what I was doing daily.
Sure.
And quite honestly, or quite often it would be, and usually it was a dog that was coming from the shelter. So over the years, all the dogs became much more focused on me, and my significant other, Kelly, was feeling a little left out because she really wanted her own dog again.
Yeah.
So that's the best way to put it. So fast forward, she talked to several rescues because she had an idea of what she wanted to do from a foster aspect. And I said, go for it. I'll support you. But this was completely her deal. So about a week after she gets approval, we get a phone call, and there's a stray that has been running around in the panhandle. Mm-hmm. And would we be interested in this dog? It's like, well, we didn't. You know, yes, absolutely. I mean, we're going to help the rescue. It's in the panhandle. So we met them in Ocala and have had this dog with us now for going on almost 6 weeks. So
you say it is going well.
It is going very well.
Okay.
And it's been fun. And for me, I was all for it because I could not only watch Kelly work with this dog. All I was doing was giving her some coaching here and there.
Okay.
Pretty much everything she's done from the get-go with this dog. Now, there are certain things when there may have been struggles, I would give her some tips on how to do it. But in general, I was letting her
Steer the ship.
Use stuff that she's heard me talk about now for years and has seen me do and everything along that line. So that's where we are right now.
What kind of challenges did a stray dog found in the panhandle before he came to you guys? What kind of challenges did that present, just in broad strokes?
Well, it took them 5 days to catch this dog. Mm. So I didn't know what kind of escape behaviors we may be dealing with there.
For sure.
We've got one dog and two cats in the house, so we didn't have any idea what we may be dealing with, in that case. So basically, we were bringing this dog in with complete unknown about any of anything other than that little synopsis right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So that's where we got to start from. And that's what I'll continue to talk about throughout the show.
Okay, fair enough. Well, again, this is Ask the Trainer. The trainer in this case, of course, is Glenn Hatchell. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. It's a segment we do every 2 to 3 months where people can call in or email in or text in, ask questions about their dog or cat or other animal's behavior or a training issue or something else that you might need some guidance on, and Glenn will be happy to oblige. So we'll be happy to take those calls at 813-239-9663. Or you can email DJ at WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. And we actually got an email before the show even started, so maybe we'll start with that while we're waiting for folks to call in or email in. But please, if you are, a couple things. If you do call in, you might be on hold for a few minutes if Glenn is talking with someone about their issue, number one. Number two, please don't wait too deep into the show, because what often happens over the years is we get a flurry of calls at the last portion. We just don't have time to get it to everybody. So call early and often, 813-239-9663. Email DJ at WNF.org or text 813-433-0885 for any kind of question, behavioral question, issue with a dog, a cat, some other animal in the house or elsewhere, not necessarily in the house. Like Glenn was mentioning horses. And we have a question from someone who deals with questions, but this is actually a dog question. So we'll start with that, Glenn, if that sounds okay.
Absolutely.
So we are experienced dog owners. We've adopted 28 over the last nearly 40 years. There was a point when we had 13 dogs at one time, and they were all part of the family and all over the furniture. Not too long ago, we paid the bail on an 8-month-old terrier who had been abandoned at a High Kill County Animal Control. He had not been neutered, but we got that taken care of right away. My question, Henry has been with us for a year and a half now. I cannot, all caps, not get him to stop marking inside the house. We have a doggy door. He uses it willingly. It leads to a safely fenced, very large yard with room to run and a wooded area to explore. We go outside as a family numerous times a day for let's go potty romps. And we have two other dogs, 10-year-old male Pitty and an 8-year-old female Basset mix. They get along great, play together, sleep together, eat beside each other, although Henry is extremely high energy and a vexation at times to the other two. If I catch Henry marking, I scold out a loud no, then immediately scrub that spot with urine cleaner. If there's a spot I didn't witness happen, I don't haul him over to it for a scolding. I just clean it up. All these years, all these dogs, I've never experienced anything like this, and I'm super frustrated. Thanks for input. All right, well, that's from, by the way, I should say that's from Melanie Bowles, periodic guest over many years here on Talking Animals and the founder and director of Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary. Does great work for horses and great work with dogs, obviously, but she's got a frustrating one at the moment. So, Glenn, any thoughts?
That is a challenge, and knowing your experience, Melanie, I'm confident that all of the normal kinds of things probably you have tried. I think the one thing that, well, I'm going to just take off the table that you have talked to the vet about this, because obviously marking can be, there can be a physical aspect to it, but I'm also assuming that since he willingly uses the pet door to go outside, that he also will go potty outside as well. So it's not just inside where he goes. The You had mentioned about cleaning with the urine cleaner. I'm assuming, again, that that's one of the biodegradables that breaks down, you know. But, of course, dogs' sense of smell are so high, there's the chances of some residual being there, in my opinion, somewhere around there's going to be a residual, which could be a continuing stimulation for him, but it really sounds more like just a behavior that he has always been able to do. Excuse me, probably even before, well, you assume at the time he was at the shelter, he probably was in a kennel and probably could go to the bathroom anywhere when he needed to. And prior to the home, or prior to that, wherever he lived, since we don't know, but since he's doing it in your house, it may be something that he's learned over the years. So my first thought is, instead of catching him marking in the house, you want to eliminate him from marking in the house. And while it may be a challenge, the easiest way to do that is to have him tethered off to you. So whether it's just some sort of leash or something that keeps him by you, that does not allow him to run off and mark somewhere. That way, if he goes to do it, you can get him before he's going to start marking and then get him outside. But part of it, the difference here, you're right, there may be an aspect of marking here, which is different from your general urination. But then again, it's all driven by the smell. Obviously, the other thing to do would be to, if he's going to be inside, then he wears a doggy diaper. But at year and a half, and I would say probably with his energy, I would imagine that Henry would have some fun playing with a doggy diaper, I would imagine. So those are my guesses, or not my guesses, those are my first thoughts. So,
all right, let's give those a try, and maybe we'll hear back from Melanie after a little while for an update on kind of progress with Henry. So, all right, so again, this is Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals on WMNF. Again, if you have a question about your own dog or cat or other animal for a behavioral issue, a training issue, some other kind of issue that you might want to discuss with Glenn, you can call 813-239-9663, email dj at wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. So I think we got another email here, Glenn. This says, I have a rescue dog that I got as a puppy that is around 4 now. His mother was a blue tick hound. We saw her. His father is unknown, but I think was a tank. Weighs 105 pounds now. His problem is he is a reactive barker. Not always, but when he does, I can't get him to stop. Any ideas? That's from Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you for the email. I'm just looking at, I'm looking at that email again now just to reread. So with reactive barking, I guess my first question would be, is it any sort of noise that he reacts to, or is it other dogs, people, school buses? Because that would help limit or eliminate certain things that he doesn't react to. But to address the second point where you said that it is, you have a challenge getting him to stop easily. One way to think about it is that whatever he's looking at is what his mind's going to be focused on. So if you can get him to begin focusing on you, that's what your goal is. So if he likes toys, if he loves to chase something, then in those moments when he starts, toss the toy. So basically you're taking his brain off of what he's reacting and barking at and putting it on something fun and playful and getting him completely distracted from that. Obviously, if you're out on a walk, that's a bigger challenge, and that's where treats come into play. being a blue tick hound. There may be something besides a toy that he would be interested, that would be easier for you to be able to get his distraction. It just depends on the dog. But yeah, that's the
what
first.
What would be an example of something else that might serve that purpose, Glenn?
Well, in the case of a hound, just thinking of the fact of, I think, blue tick hounds and along that line have more smell receptors than any of the dogs. I think there's somewhere like 300 million.
Okay.
And we have 6 million.
They got a serious schnoz.
Yeah, we have 6 million. They have 300 million.
Wow.
So, I mean, they are smelling, you know, they're
everything.
Smelling. Yeah, they're smelling the planets. And I could make a joke, but I'm not. And so the idea with the Basset Hound, it could be something that is more scent-oriented, for example. So that's my thought there of toy. But not, you know, not all dogs are toy bit. But it could be, you know, it could be an antler, for example. Maybe he really likes an antler. So something, and obviously treats are one, but I'm trying to, in this situation, imagine the reactive barkings happening in the house, which I suspect that it's happening there as well, since it continues on and on. So I hope that helps, Wendy.
All right. Well, let us know. Keep us posted. And again, this is Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals on WMNF. If you have a question about your dog or cat's behavior or some other animal's behavior or something Glenn might be able to guide you with or help you with a bit, 813-239-9663. Email DJ at WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. So we have another, this is actually a text that kind of in some ways maybe overlaps our previous email question. So it says, I've had several pity mixes over the years. I'm currently a volunteer dog walker at our county shelter. I have a rescue 60-pound female pity mix, Lulu, who is a great dog, but is reactive to other mostly large dogs. Other than a professional trainer, any suggestions to alleviate the reactivity? Thanks.
Absolutely. There are a number of really good resources online to talk about that will address reactivity and walking on the leash. Positively.com being one. That's Victoria Stillwell's site. ASPCA. You can find ASPCA.org. You can find a lot of training information, I'll say, and owner information on the ASPCA website.
Okay.
That will provide and help with things like behavior issues such as this, which is pretty common for one dog to be reactive to another on leash. And where we were very early in the show, I think we're talking about with, from a behavior perspective, sometimes we never know until we try it. And right. It's the same if you've got, such as the email that we're mentioning here, Bob. She's a good dog, mostly other large dogs is what she's reacting to. And what we don't know is if she is reacting because she wants to play with them, even though it may, she may be pulling and vocalizing, she might actually really be good with the other dogs. So that's one of the challenges with a reactive dog is determining what the motivation is behind that. But barking is natural for dogs as well. So there's an aspect there that we definitely do not want to curtail, but finding a way to let your dog know that, okay, that's enough. Thank you. Good job. You know, that's what I try to do with mine when if they start going on and on, which, you know, I think it's successful sometimes. Kelly would say it's never successful. So it depends on the perspective.
Point of view. Yeah, I suppose. All right. Looks like we got a text message here, and I think we lost one of our callers. Feel free to call back, 813-239-9663. Again, if you're on hold for a moment or two, just hang tight, because that usually just means Glenn's helping someone that emailed in or texted in. It sometimes takes a moment or two to get to your call, but we will as soon as we can, for sure. So, all right, this is kind of a longer email. I'll try to read at least some of it. If not most. Longtime fan of the show. Our new roughly 2-year-old rescue dog is a Chihuahua Terrier mix, possibly. We are not entirely sure. He had moderate separation anxiety when we first got him. We were told that he came from the home of an elderly woman who was admitted to a nursing home. He has settled in really nicely over the past few months and seemed to do well when we are away, particularly when our other dog keeps him company. However, the one bad habit is finding his way into our laundry basket and stealing our underwear. He proceeds to chew a small hole in the crotch. Any advice on how we might mitigate this behavior, short of keeping all our doors in the house and all undergarments above 4 feet high? Thank you.
Well, the last sentence is the easiest way to keep that from happening, is to basically
not.
But that's also by the same, I forgot the point I was going to make there. So, the moderate separation anxiety that you mentioned early on, there could be an aspect of that, possibly, but...
One little update, sorry, that they wrote back, which is a quick addendum saying, I should say this only happens when we leave them unsupervised, even for just a minute when we're taking out the trash or taking a shower.
Ah, okay. So... one of the ways to think about it is that whether it's underwear, sock, a shirt, but generally thinking of something small, that's something you wear. So everything about you is going to be in that garment. So there's an aspect of the dog wanting that to be able to have you near. This is, sorry. I don't want to go that path because that's reading too much in there. But you're not there. He's getting it. It's something you have been wearing. So there could be a tie to that. As far as keeping him from getting in, that's going to be the main thing of not letting him access that. But what you could do, if it was a sock or a pair that he has already done a hole in, then let him just have that pair. And hope that having one pair that becomes his is one way over time that he'll start leaving yours alone. So that's probably how I would approach it, is one, go ahead and not give him access. But the bigger thing is give him something instead, and see if that helps the issue a little bit.
All right. Sounds good. I think we have a caller here. Glenn, let's see if we can get... somebody involved. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. This is Acid Training with Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals on WMNF. Go ahead, please.
Me?
Yeah, it's you. Go ahead. Thank you.
Oh, hey. Hi. I have a stray that was picked up about last year sometime and taken to our farm. And she looks like a pit. But sometimes she howls like a hound or something. But she does live outside. Well, she lives outside and stuff at night. I bring her in a back enclosed room separate from the house. She barks a lot sometimes at night. It's something out there. But the big problem is she does have heartworms, and she's getting ready to go through the injections. And the veterinarian says that she has to be kept really calm and cool during a couple month period. And it's going to be really problematic. I'm not sure how we're going to do that. I'm willing to keep her in the house. No matter what we do, she smells. But should I get one of those thunder vest or something to keep her calm? She's, of course, really scared with a little bit of thunder, and she does get excited about a lot of things, and I'm going to have to take her out for walks on a leash.
Mm-hmm. So, I would talk, since she's going to go through heartworm treatment, I would see if they could prescribe some medication that she can be on during the period of time that would keep her a little more calm. I think the thunder shirt is a good idea. But you may find that it's not going to be sufficient to keep her calm, at the level that the vet is suggesting that you do. So there's not a lot of alternatives there. I know some dogs really I've seen some dogs during heartworm treatments, just because of the treatment, they are not as energetic. And I actually had one foster for a year and a half at one point. Part of the reason why she was with us for so long was she also went through heartworm treatment. Mm. And she never lost energy through the whole time. So, Wow. You know, every dog's a little bit different. But I would, I would talk to your vet and see if they can help you with some medication for her while during that period of time. And everything else, but that's in addition to everything else you've said.
She does sleep a lot during the day. She has some favorite places to sleep outside on chairs and stuff like that. But I'm thinking when it gets too hot, I can't have her outside.
Right.
So she's going to have to be in.
Heartworm treatment or not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call. Let us know how it goes. Good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi, you're on Talking Animals, Acid Trainer with Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals on WMNF.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a rescue treeing walker coonhound that we rescued up in North Florida. I think he was a failed hunting dog. But he had such a sweet demeanor, we decided to bring him to Tampa and make him our kid. My call is about his walking with a leash. I've taken him to Good Citizen training. He did wonderful. But we've had some issues with healthcare, caregiving, and we haven't been able to walk him as much. So he started pulling very, very hard on the leash. He's 60 pounds, and we're in our 60s, and I've been wanting to train him to not do that because we're going to age and get a little bit older, and I want to be safe. We started to use a gentle leader around his nose. It works, except he hates it. He wants to pull it off or try to rub it off as we go for the walk. I started giving him treats when I put it on, telling him how good he is, but he still is hating it. And I just didn't know what I could do to overcome that.
One, I am excited that a gentle leader is what you're using. I think based on what you described, that's a really great tool to try. Another one would be, tool option would be a front hook harness. I'm not recommending either one of these, just as an example, like a Freedom No Pull or an Easy Walk. Those are two examples of front hook harnesses. So that's an alternative to the gentle leader, but you may not find it as effective. But to get back to your question of what was there, one thing, and you're right as far as the treats, you definitely want to do that. Think about, one, I would imagine that he likes to go for a walk. So
absolutely. And he's very food motivated.
Okay. Well, so Dave, you got two things. Because one, think about the walk being one of the positive reinforcements for having the gentle leader being put on. So okay. that's the big one there. Even though he hates it, I know you want to go for a walk. And guess what? Once you get the gentle leader on, then we get to go for the walk. You know, that's kind of, obviously, you're not going to say it to him like that. But in my mind, that's where the excitement I would want to get him to start thinking about. In other words, that association of gentle leader means I get to go for a walk.
Right, right. And that's all we use now.
Yeah.
That's what I tell him.
So I would also try, and even though this is going to maybe a little bit off from what I was saying there, is that since you said he's food motivated at his meal time, go ahead and put it on. And so he's eating his meals while he has it on as well.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Now, okay. I would say that as he gets more acclimated, then obviously you can start backing that off, which you would want to. But again, it's something that he obviously likes to do, and he's doing something really positive while this really irritating thing is on his mouth. And the hope then is over time, he just becomes, he gets conditioned to it being there.
Okay. That's wonderful. Do I have time for one more question?
It's very brief because there's a few more people we got to get to. And we...
I understand. Somebody else might get this one too. He's a big dog. He gets overly excited when we play with him sometimes to the point he's barking, and it's a different type of bark. And he just wants to growl and play really, really hard to the point it seems like he's getting too aggressive. He's not in any nature, but I wondered if that's something that we can help. Because I want to be able to play with him, but I don't want him to get overly aggressive or overly playful and hurt us.
In that case, what you don't want to have happen is him... I'll say practice the problem behavior. In this case, gets too rough. So don't play with him. If you get the sense that he's starting to get into that rough area, stop the play.
Okay.
Let him settle back down, then start the play over again.
Okay, that's what we've been doing. I just want to make sure that was the right thing. Thank you so much for taking my call.
All right, thanks for calling. Good luck. Take care.
And you guys are great. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Hi, you're on Talking Animals Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell on WMNF. Hello, it's you.
Hello?
Hello, it's you. It's your turn. Go ahead, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay. I'm calling because I have a three-year-old...
Okay, sorry, you might have to start over. I think we missed the first part with the barking and whatever, so if you could would mind starting over, that'd be great.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm at work. I have a three-year-old male cat that just had a urinary blockage, and they gave him a catheter for 3 days and they unblocked him, but I'm just really worried about it happening again because the vet bill is so expensive. I don't know if I can afford to unblock him if it happens again. So we have him on the prescription food, but it's really hard to get him to eat it. Do you have any tips for making sure that a blockage won't happen again?
I'm sorry that I couldn't pick up everything you were saying there.
Okay.
What is it dry food?
No, the prescription food now is wet food.
Okay. But he has no interest in eating that.
No, it's really, really difficult to get him to eat it.
So, and this is, so one thing would be to try like adding some water to it possibly, or even chicken broth. Or okay. I say chicken broth, but then I hesitate because if he's on a special kind of food, I'm saying chicken broth as an example, not as a recommendation, because there obviously are other things going on there.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the easy way to try. Now, I'll also tell you that for my cats, I add a little baby food.
Okay.
So, because, I mean, it's human grade. There's nothing in it, obviously, that's bad. And, you know, it's also something that you can buy the little, very little jars of. So it's not like there's a whole, it's not like you're buying a quart of something.
And that should be something that wouldn't promote, like, the kind of crystals and stuff that block him.
Well, the idea is to get a motivated or get enough in the prescription food that
that he'll eat that.
Right.
Okay. And then ever since he got back from the vet, our female cat has been like hissing at him when they used to be good friends. Is there something, is that common? Do you think he smells different or?
Yeah, there could be something. Actually, no, there would be some smell differences for sure. And it could be, how long ago was the other one at the vet?
He was there Tuesday overnight, but then we were bringing him back daily for monitoring up until Friday. So he's been all the way home since Friday.
But there could very well still be some pheromones and such from being at the vet and such, or just in general pheromones that the other cat's putting off that could be causing the hissing. I would keep a watch on that, you know.
Okay.
But I wouldn't worry about it until all of a sudden it started turning into aggression.
Okay.
You know?
Well, thank you so much. And I want to thank my friend Michaeline for suggesting that I call you. So thank you guys.
All right, thank you. Good luck. Take care.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. So again, this is Ask the trainer being Glenn Hatchell, of course, on Talking Animals on WNF. If you have a question about your dog or cat's behavior or maybe a training issue, Glenn is welcoming those questions right now. 813-239-9663, email dj@wnf.org or text 813-433-0885. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of what's happening next week on Talking Animals. My guests will be Lenore Brayford and Paul Drake, co-founders of Piedmont Farm Animal Refuge, a North Carolina sanctuary housing rescued farm animals, educating people about the realities of animal agriculture, and promoting veganism. We've highlighted a number of farm animal sanctuaries that pursue a comparable mission, but there are two notable distinctions here. First, Piedmont Farm Animal Refuge is a highly innovative animal sanctuary, primarily owing to Paul Drake being an architectural designer. So consequently, each structure at Piedmont Farm is uniquely tailored to the species being housed there. And number two, related to number one, Piedmont Farm Animal Refuge is the subject of a new documentary called Forever Home by award-winning filmmaker Allison Argo, who's been a guest on the show at least twice. Additionally, that night, March 18th, there will be a screening of Forever Home in Tampa at Sunray Cinema. That's near USF at 7:15 p.m. So lots going on next Wednesday, the 18th, with Lenore Brayford and Paul Drake of Piedmont Farm Animal Refuge happening on Talking Animals here on WNF. So let's circle back to your dog that joined the household, Glenn.
Oh, yes.
Or anything else you'd like to mention?
No.
We do hope in our remaining moments, we do have about 10 minutes left, so people can call. So we're getting a call now.
Well, it fits into a couple of the discussions that are here. She came to us as a stray, so we didn't know anything coming in. and there is a what's called the 333 rule, which I would imagine a lot of the listeners are familiar with. And if you're not, you can just... you can search it and it'll come up and tell you about the 333 rule. But basically the idea is that a new animal in the house, in the first 3 days, they may feel overwhelmed, scared, may not eat. And what we noticed about this dog was her eating was not very consistent, but we didn't see any fears. Fortunately, as contrary to a couple of the callers have experienced, we had no house training issues. She hasn't gone to the bathroom inside, so that was a good thing right off the bat. But in the first 3 days, the main thing Kelly focused on was building the bond, taking her for walks regularly. So she was about every 30 minutes for the first couple of days taking her out, even if it was just for a quick, let's walk out here and sniff, come back in. For two reasons. One, we didn't know at that point what kind of signals, if any signals, she might send if she needed to go to the bathroom.
Right.
But the other was also to start developing that routine, because over the first 3 days, the dog basically is just trying to understand what's happening next. And then once you get from the 3 days, then the next of the three is 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Part of it within the 3 weeks is developing that routine. So Kelly started really focusing on a consistent routine for in the morning. This is what we do. This is when you eat. You know, so that was the focus over really for about the first 3 weeks at that point. And then I... recommended, because I could see that she was doing some things right, but I also knew that I needed to, considering the fact that we live in the same house, I was also being careful about how I did certain coaching. Sure. So actually what I did was recommended that she take a look at a book by Patricia McConnell and Brenda Skidmore called The Puppy Primer. Now, even though this book is focused on really dogs that are puppies, what Kelly found the advantage in this was, one, as she started working with Millie, who's what we're calling her, short for Millinocket from Millinocket, Maine, for anybody who loves Maine. I could see that she was not struggling, but needed that next step of what to do. So what I recommended was that she use the puppy primer to go through, because it's going to focus on foundations. And I kept saying, okay, she's doing good here, but master the foundations, get the skill really good.
So would the foundations in that book be sort of relevant and helpful regardless of the actual age of the dog? Like, the dog wouldn't necessarily need to be a puppy as much as just like
exactly
initial,
because Millie is 2 years.
Yeah,
so she is an adult. She's an adult. So that's been that's been fun. But with the advantage of the book has helped Kelly focus again more on creating the bond and creating those communication signals. So there's an expectation and understanding of what's wanted, because that works both ways. You know, the dog now can send some signals to Kelly, and Kelly knows exactly what she wants.
That's great.
You know, what she's looking
for. They're on the same wavelength.
And yes, very much so.
All right, so let's come back to that a little bit more in a moment, but we do have a caller. I just want to make sure we work them into the show before we're in our final minutes here of Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals on WNF. Go ahead, please. Do you have a question or a comment for Glenn? Oh, I thought you were there. Maybe you're on. Hello, caller, are you there? No? Okay, well, if something happened, you want to call back 813-239-9663. Or again, people can email dj@wnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. So
what we, as she was going along, everything was going good there, and still is, but she's taking him out to, taking her out to lunch with some friends. They sat outside at a patio. Everything went good. Interestingly, about a week or so later, one of those friends came into her house and was in the narrow foyer at the entrance, but he had a motorcycle helmet in his hand. And Millie's reaction was completely different, as if she had never seen him before. She barked. Wow. The ears were back. It was a side of her that I have not seen at all. So I immediately just sort of like, okay, let's start paying attention to this. And what I have discovered, and I don't know if this is everything behind it, but if there's some foreign object, I would say, large object that's in someone's hand, she freaks out about it.
Regardless of the shape?
Yes. And even if depending on who it is, because I realized the other day I had a large pot in my hand, big metal silver pot, and I was carrying it to put it away, and her reaction to me with that pot in the hand. And what I've realized now, there was one other moment that is what the reaction is. So I say that one of the reasons, because it's been fun to see it from this perspective of watching someone else work with a dog that lives in my house. But with some of the comments from the callers today, and one being I'm thinking about the cat with the hissing. In and of itself, one time, it could be multiple things. But if you can find that consistency,
the pattern,
we can start finding what the trigger is. So that's why paying attention and remembering, or thinking about what's common in this situation, that's common in this situation when it happened before.
Yeah,
because that's going to really help
narrow
be able
it down,
to figure
right?
out.
Yeah.
What's
like
really
work,
going on.
Basically,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. All right, well, in our final moments here of Ask the Trainer here on WNF with Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals. So if we get a quick call in or a quick email, we can take it 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. But we've gotten a nice mix of questions and emails and texts and calls so far. So, it's been good to hear about the new dog and sort of challenges faced in your own household. So everybody goes through similar challenges.
And there are, I mean, just like many people have, or some have mentioned today about the pulling on leash, she has moments that she'll do a little pulling, things like that. But honestly, we had no intention to be a foster success, which is what I think it should be called. Now, if people say foster fail, but I think it's foster success. and I just had no idea that she was going to turn out to be as good as she has been. You know, that's so great. you just really never know. Now, again, we're 6 months into it, so we're not even, we haven't finished the rule of threes yet.
Right.
And I've already started.
Stay tuned.
And we started having our storms finally.
Oh.
We started noticing a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, now we only had, what, one night, two nights, something like that. So it hasn't been our daily bit to not see what's going to happen when it pounds for a while. So, but it's always just absolutely.
Okay, so let's take a call. Probably our final.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell on WMNF.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Okay, I'll make this quick. Okay, I've adopted an older cat. He's about 14 years old. He grew up with just dogs and lots of other kids, never other cats. I've had him for about 8 months. He sprays everywhere. He is fixed. He also has FIV, though. He tolerates now my other cats, but of course they don't associate because he doesn't like to associate with my other cats. So I clean up his mess when I can find it. I use anti-spray stuff, and I'm now using pheromone diffuser. He's still spraying, and I'm moving into a new house soon, and I really need to curtail this behavior. Any suggestions?
Have you talked to, my first thought always is, have you talked to the vet?
Not about the spraying.
Yeah, I would talk to the vet. I wish I could give you an idea, but everything that I would think of to try for some calming and such, you have with the diffusers and such. And I'm assuming in the diffusers you have like Feel Away or something along that line. That's
the pheromone stuff. Yeah.
I will say that there are, and well, there were, I don't know if they still do them, but there were calming shirts for cats.
Oh, okay.
I know, exactly. That was my thought when I saw it for the first time. They were small enough to fit on some really tiny dogs. That's how I found out about them. But good luck with that. I wish I could offer you some ideas.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, good luck. We'll be thinking about you. Let us know how it goes. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have just about reached the end of Ask the Trainer here on Talking Animals with Glenn Hatchell. Thank you, Glenn, for always having great answers and great help for our various callers and emailers and texters. And coming up on WNF today, it's The Conversation, the great show hosted by Mauro Nunez and Joe King Carter. After that, it's The Scoop, WNF's brief news recap. Then we shift back to music programming with Sam Ball holding forth from 1 to 3, followed by Nancy C hosting the Wednesday Traffic Jam from 3 to 6. And there's more great music here on 885 WNF. Again, just one more reminder about next week. We'll be joined by Lenore Brayford and Paul Drake, co-founders of Piedmont Farm Animal Refuge, North Carolina Farm Animal Sanctuary, and the Center of Forever Home, a new documentary by award-winning filmmaker Allison Argo, kind of focusing on the innovative designs they've gotten for their enclosures there that are species-specific. So, and there's a screening that night in Tampa. So this is Talking Animals on WNF 88.5 FM. We'll be back next Wednesday with that show, and thanks again. Glenn and I will be back for another edition 2-3 months usually. Thanks for everything, Glenn.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
All right, WNF Tampa. Stay tuned for The Conversation next.